happy, because in that mysterious office, he was carrying on the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. It was simplicity itself. The money sent to him by new investors was used to pay existing investors, as well as any redemptions, which he honoured in full and promptly. Some was also diverted into beach houses for him and the family in Long Island and Cap d'Antibes, and into trips to Las Vegas for the accounts manager. The money flowed round and round in a delightfully circular way. And there was plenty of it. By 2001 he was managing billions, and his clients included Tufts and Yeshiva Universities — he was a trustee of Yeshiva — HSBC, Nomura, the Royal Bank of Scotland, Steven Spielberg, John Malkovich, and several Jewish charities. As a Jewish boy from Queens, he had a special interest in helping such causes, as he told Elie Wiesel, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, over dinner once. Wiesel's foundation invested $15.2 million with him, and lost it all, as did almost 5,000 other investors, most of them ordinary elderly folk, who lost a total of $64.8 billion on paper, and around $20 billion in hard and hard-earned cash. That money was still being recovered on the day he died. No trades were ever made with it. It went straight to him and the scheme. Meanwhile, he trusted a tiny band of employees to insert fake trades into customer statements based on his own best calculations of how share prices had moved. If inspectors asked for records he could not immediately produce, these too would be fresh made, and, if too suspiciously warm from the printer, cooled in the office fridge.